You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to tonight's live installment of TPC. We have had to rework tonight's show to factor in some new developments this Saturday evening, March the 30th. So what happened, if you didn't know, we'll start off with this. Upon his arrival in Europe yesterday, Jared Taylor was promptly detained and deported. Okay, that's the news. Jared posted his report or his accounting of that situation to American Renaissance, AmRen.com. I talked to Jared a couple of hours ago, and he was actually going to come on. The travel-weary Jared Taylor himself was going to come on, even in spite of all the wear and tear, and make himself available to our audience this evening. But what happened was this. When the European authorities expelled him, they didn't send him back home. Jared lives near Washington, D.C. There's two huge airports in Washington, D.C. He could have had a direct flight from any major city in Europe. He was in Zurich to Washington, D.C., no problem. But they didn't send him to Washington. They sent him to New Jersey. And so Jared was in New Jersey at the airport when I called him a couple of hours ago, and he had to make additional arrangements just to get home. And the flight he ended up getting is, well, right now. He's in the air right now during our showtime, so we're not going to have him on because of that. He's happy to come on next week. Then Paul Fromm is actually over at the conference in Sweden that Jared was supposed to be speaking at, and Paul Fromm was going to join us to give us his report from the conference, and now we can't reach Paul. So this is live radio. We hope Paul hasn't been deported or arrested or anything else, but we had just talked to Paul just very, very recently, and now it's not going through. So, and now it is 3 a.m. in the morning, but it was Paul's idea to appear that late. And anyway, so that's what happens in live radio sometimes, especially with volatile situations like this, or at least fluid situations like this. And so it looks like no guests tonight, but that's okay. We've got a ton to talk about, but we will start with this. And Brad Griffin was on our show last week. He calls this clown world full speed ahead. Jared himself, this is an excerpt from his post at AmRen.com. Dear friends in Stockholm and around the world, I'm sorry to tell you that I cannot attend the forum in Stockholm or the conference in Finland where I have been invited to give talks. When I landed in Zurich, Swiss border authorities told me I had been banned from Europe until 2021. I had to spend the night at the airport, and tomorrow I will be deported. Now, this was what he wrote a couple of days ago. And he's also been banned from 26 other European countries. Until 2021. I don't know what is magical about the two-year period there. But Brad Keith writes the only reaction one could have, and that is, we are the normal people. We are the good guys. It is the world that has lost its mind under the spell of political correctness. Jared Taylor is a gentleman. He's an aristocrat, as close as we have to it in America anymore. He isn't a threat to anyone. He wanted to give a speech at a conference. Brad continues, there have been some dark and shameful episodes in European history, but this current round of secular witch hunting and the fake moral panic over so-called racism will certainly go down as the most embarrassing. Imagine banning Jared Taylor from visiting Sweden while letting it simultaneously be colonized by jihadists. The moral rot of Europe can't possibly get deeper.
Yes, it's so incredible that Jared, as mild-mannered and meek as he is personally, particularly no threat whatsoever of physical violence, yet jihadists that kill upwards of 100 people are being welcomed into Europe, but this thought criminal, Jared Taylor, who dares to speak the truth to power, is banned. You know, it shows that they have the will to prevent people from coming into their continent or into their particular countries. They can certainly handle it.
You know, I couldn't help, Keith, but think about this. So Jared Taylor, I believe, has logged more appearances on this show than any guest we've ever featured. So he's banned now from essentially all of Europe, 26 European nations. Paul Fromm was going to be Jared's fill-in tonight, but for whatever reason, we're unable to reach Paul right now in Europe. But Paul is there in Europe, but Paul can't come to the United States, whereas now Jared's been banned from Europe and has been back deported here to America. So there's bannings all over the place, which goes to show, yes, if they can identify any single one of us as an individual and make dead gum sure that nobody leaves the airport that isn't supposed to leave the airport, it seems as though they could do a little bit more with the people who are the true threats, the people who are coming over with very low IQs, very poor
and
set of skills.
Criminal affiliations.
Criminals. You know, and some people obviously outright murderous and rapists, as we've seen in Europe. You know, the Cologne incident in Germany a couple of years ago.
Nice France.
Well, you could pretty much name just about any European city, and you would hit the target with regards to terror attacks and rapings and murders and perhaps even bombings. It's happening all the time now.
But these threats pale in comparison to Jared Taylor and Paul Fromm, apparently.
So. That's what's going on. The cherry on the top for me was that when they expelled him, they couldn't even give him the courtesy of a direct flight back to D.C. They sent him to New Jersey, of all places. At least they got him on the Eastern Seaboard. I mean, I guess they could have sent him to Alaska and said, well, we got you back to America.
Well, what it shows is that there is a polite and impolite way to do everything, including deportation.
So, in any event, if you want to read more about that, go to amren.com. We would have told you a little more about it had the guest been able to appear, but obviously for very legitimate reasons, they could not. And but anyway, that's our lead-in story. Again, you just can't help but compare and contrast the people who the net is so tight that there's no way they're getting through, whereas untold millions are flooding over that are serious threats. I mean, and Jared wrote about this in his piece at Amren on the he wasn't arrested necessarily. He was detained, and he was put into some pretty sparse quarters, I guess you could say, pretty much a cot in a common area. But, you know, this is his homeland. This is his ancestral home. He can't even go home. I mean, he was born here. He was born in Japan. I mean, interesting. But, I mean, he's American. But this is his ancestral homeland. So where do you go now?
Well, it shows you that the leftists are the true authoritarians now, and that they are the new establishment. The counterculture of the 60s, like Pat Buchanan said, is the establishment of today, and the establishment of the 60s is the dissident culture of today. We're part of the dissident culture, and the dissident culture is dealt with much more harshly than the counterculture was ever dealt with in America back and in Europe back in the 60s.
All right, I am actually looking at this right now at Amren. Yeah, I would have liked to have heard how the conference actually turned out.
I've seen those little posters on the website of Amren months now.
That's right.
I was curious about it.
Well, it was a one-day conference that was taking place today. It was interesting that it was the Polish authorities. Now, he was detained in Switzerland and expelled from Switzerland, but it was the Polish authorities were the ones that, I guess you could say, filed the complaint to make sure that he was not admitted.
Well, when did Stockholm migrate to Poland?
We'll be back, everybody. We're going to shift gears. And, oh, my goodness, if you knew everything we had to talk about tonight. Lots and lots of stories, all of them interesting.
What do you wish your parents would do to show you they love you?
Take me to Montana.
That I would have a huge slumber party with all the girls there.
Play with me more often. My mom's so busy with the board meeting.
To spend more time together as a family.
Do more out-of-the-house activities.
This is a tough one.
My parents, they do everything they love me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a roof over my head.
They don't need to show it to me. I just know they love me.
Well, not yelling at me very much.
What do you wish? What do you wish?
Raise my allowance.
To not argue together.
Have my dad be home more for dinner and stuff so that I could be even closer.
Family, isn't it about time?
Buy me an ice cream and kiss me to love me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, what's the next question? If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Our very own Scoop Stanton put out a comment. I bet if Jared was a refugee with communicable diseases, no skills, and a need for welfare and a hatred of the West, he'd be welcomed right on in at the airport there in Zurich.
Or a pedophile. Now, that seems to really be a popular way to get into Europe now if you are from a third world country and part of one of these grooming gangs. They seem to have carte blanche to get into every nation in Europe, including Finland.
Well, Keith, this is just one example of the noose tightening, but it is certainly not the only one. The latest happening here stateside is that Facebook just this week bans quote-unquote white nationalism. Patrick Casey, who was a guest on the show about a month ago, I guess, Patrick wrote, "We're at the point where border security and the rule of law are now considered to be white nationalism. This would be amusing if not for the fact that the establishment is making it abundantly clear that white nationalism, quote unquote, must be crushed entirely."
And, you know, it's coming more and more apparent that what white nationalism is nationalism in a white nation or historically white.
Exactly.
Nation.
Now, I have never preferred the term myself. I am white. I am a nationalist. So, I mean, let's not split hairs here. But I have always maintained that the media uses the term white nationalist interchangeably with white supremacist. And it also just comes off as sounding a little militant. And, you know, you can call me a lot of things except late for dinner, right, Keith? But I've never particularly preferred the term. But what's going on here is this. Facebook has said it will block, quote, praise, support, and representation of white nationalism and separatism on Facebook and Instagram.
It's high time now for the Trump administration to determine or to rule that the social media are actually public utilities and need to be regulated like other public utilities.
The social media giant also pledged to improve its ability to identify and block material from terrorist groups. I guess that would be us too, by their definition, of course, not by any realistic definition. So Facebook users searching for offending terms will be directed to a charity which combats far-right extremism. I wonder if that could be the Southern Poverty Law Center. The social network has come under pressure after a man live-streamed an attack on two mosques in New Zealand. And Facebook had previously allowed some white nationalist content it didn't view as calls for violence, including permission for users to call for the creation of white ethnostates. Well, see, here's the point again, though, Keith, is what is going to be defined now as white nationalist rhetoric? As Patrick said, that's anything up into and including saying you want to secure the borders and prefer a society that abides by the rule of law. If I post it's okay to be white on Facebook, it's going to redirect me to a re-education group that's perversely named Life After Hate. But rest assured, they have not taken down the Facebook page for South African politician Julius Malema. Of course, his favorite song is Shoot the Boer, Shoot to Kill.
Give me my machine gun.
Now, Facebook's no loss to me. I have never been on Facebook. But I will tell you this. Everything that is happening to other leaders in this movement, we have either been through or it happened to us first. For instance, with PayPal, you know, TPC was deplatformed by PayPal in 2006. And in fact, that was so unusual at the time, I even spoke with a lawyer about taking action. I mean, now, of course, it happens every day. But that happened to us in 2006. With Facebook, though, I never had a personal Facebook account. There was a group of TPC fans who asked me for their permission to create a TPC Facebook fan page. Where they would basically repost each broadcast and each blog entry to this TPC fan page. I said, sure, of course, I'd be happy for you to do that. And it actually had several thousand friends, I think is what they call them on Facebook. And then it was unceremoniously banned and kicked off of Facebook. Now, they did nothing except repost our blogs and our programs, which is always family-friendly content. I mean, there's nothing that we've ever posted to the blog or said on this show that I would back away from. Now, that was in 2007, though. So people are talking about getting kicked off. Well, yeah, it happened. We started. That was 12 years ago. It happened. And then with conferences, you know, this new fad in recent years about, you know, any hotel can just basically violate their legally binding contract to do business, which we're supposed to have the right to do in this country. Well, that happened with us first again in Memphis in 2008 with the Euro conference and David Duke. So getting kicked off PayPal, Facebook conferences being kicked out. That all happened right here first, okay? So, but the moral of the story is this. Brad Griffin writes, Brad always writes good stuff. That's why we reference him quite a bit. He was on the show last week. Violent mass shootings aren't going to trigger the collapse of civilization. They're going to be used to intensify censorship, gun control, and political correctness. This will only reduce our footprint on social media. Conservatism is absolutely useless when it comes to resisting censorship and political correctness. As a result, we're stuck in a spiraling feedback loop of fanaticism as repression leads to violence, which leads to more repression, which leads to more violence, etc. Political correctness is a diabolical ideology that pits different groups against each other and inevitably leads to discord and violent conflict. Unfortunately, our leaders are too drunk on irrationality and the cult of diversity and political correctness to reverse course. The solution is not more tax cuts and deregulation, as the Republicans would pretend.
You know, it's occurred to me that, you know, I remember several months ago they had this horrendous incident where two girls from Norway were in Morocco wanting to hike up a mountain, and they were approached by a gang of Muslim men, and one of the last things these girls said was, "See, you have friends everywhere." And then there on camera, they attacked them and carved their heads off, chopped their heads off. Apparently, the head chopping isn't nearly as dangerous to the powers that be as our mere speech, James. That is a real sobering thought to think of. They will, you know, roll out the heavy artillery and do everything necessary, by any means necessary, to keep people like Jared Taylor and Paul Fromm from talking in Europe, but they won't protect their own citizens in Europe or their citizens when they go overseas to like North Africa from brutal, barbaric, you know, medieval type attacks. This is, you know, what type of crazy, brave new world are we living in where this type of double standard is accepted by our media, by our government, by all of the powers that be, by the establishment, and nothing, you know, a voice is not going to be raised about the incongruity of all of this.
Well, so that's where we're at. That's where we're at. It is getting worse. It is getting worse under the Trump administration. I'm not necessarily saying because of Trump. This is just the natural progression of things, and that's what progress is. Normally, when they mention progress, they're talking about things getting progressively worse. And I like what we said a minute ago. I mean, you know, you talk about the Salem witch trials and all of this other stuff that is sort of, you know, a blemish on the story of the European people. I think that this is the most embarrassing episode in European history. This where Europeans virtue signal against themselves and against their children and against their ancestors in order to curry favor with minority racists who hate them, hoping that somebody will pat them on the head and tell them they're a good white person for hating themselves and working against their family's
future. And they allow
their
women, the men of the West that are running it, and the women in power, allow women to be savagely attacked, brutally killed, like these Norwegian girls. And what in the world is, you know, this is, you know, inconceivable, really.
All right, we're going to take a break right there, folks. Just got a message from Paul Fromm. We're going to see if we can connect with him. Connecting across the oceans is never guaranteed. So let's see if we can get Paul on in the next segment. I'm going to give him a call right now as soon as we get a break. Stay tuned.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Trump administration says it's cutting direct U.S. aid to three Central American countries. The State Department says it will suspend payments to El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. Mark Jones is a political analyst at Rice University.
If President Trump believes that somehow by cutting off aid, he's going to get a change in behavior by these three governments, he's sorely mistaken. If they could do more to essentially align themselves with the United States on this policy, they would.
The announcement comes as the president threatens to shut down the U.S. border with Mexico.
If they don't stop them, we're closing the border. They'll close it, and we'll keep it closed for a long time. I'm not playing games.
Attorney General William Barr says a redacted version of the Mueller report will be sent to Congress by mid-April. So far, Barr has sent a four-page summary of the report, but Democrats say they want the whole thing. This is USA Radio News.
Do you wish you could get better sleep and maybe lose a few pounds? Maybe more than a few pounds? Well, there's this product called Calitrin that helps with both sleep and weight loss. Just listen to what people are saying about it.
I've been taking Calitrim for right about 3 months, and I've lost 24 pounds and 19 overall inches. But my sleep has improved, I have so much more energy, and I have the desire to succeed more than ever. Anyone who needs weight loss, more energy, and better sleep, this product really does deliver.
Hi, I'm Roger. Over the 3 months that I took the product, my sleeping habits are increasingly much better. I got a better night's sleep, and I just can't say enough about the product and how it makes you feel. Also, additionally lost a little bit of weight on the program as well.
Hi, this is Eric, and I take Calitrin for weight loss, and I've lost about 20 pounds, and I feel great.
Calitrin is scientifically proven to help with sleep and weight loss safely and effectively. Check it out at toploss.com. That's toploss.com.
With a speech in his native El Paso, Texas, Democrat O'Rourke is now officially a candidate for president.
This state and its 38 electoral votes count like they've never counted before.
Scott Braddock is editor of the Quorum Report.
O'Rourke was able to take Democrats 5 years ago from losing every statewide race in Texas by 21 points to last year coming within 3 points of beating a statewide candidate in Ted Cruz.
When President Trump's counterpart in South Korea visits Washington, Washington next month, trade and military cooperation may be overshadowed by what to do with North Korea. Here's more from USA's Rick Vincent.
GOP Congressman Ted Yoho on CNN was asked if South Korea will press the president to reduce sanctions on the North.
The President Moon will come over here. They'll try to work that out. They've had waivers where they can do humanitarian and some economic development in the Kaesong Industrial Park. President Trump did pull back on those sanctions.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, live radio at its best. Here we now have Paul Fromm, our very good friend. Paul Fromm, the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression and the Canada First Immigration Reform Committee. He's back with us this hour live from Stockholm, Sweden, where he's going to be reporting, offering his take on the news concerning the deportation of Jared Taylor. Now, Paul, thank you so much. I understand it's 3:30 in the morning where you're at, and you woke up just to be on the show for a few minutes.
Actually, just after about 12:30 in the morning, so it's not too bad.
Oh, that's right. Where am I at? I don't even know what country I'm in right now. I've talked to so many people in so many time zones today. That's right.
It's still way past James's bedtime. So.
That's for sure. Well, anyway, well, thank you, Paul. Yes, I don't know. I'm looking at the clock. I don't know. I think I was talking to a guy in Australia earlier today, but it'd be like Tuesday in Australia. Anyway, all right, Paul, so we broke down the situation concerning Jared. Of course, I'd like to hear your reaction to that, but also take the time to tell us, you are there at the conference that Jared was scheduled to speak at. How's the conference going, and what's the reaction from the attendees?
Well, it's over. It's a one-day conference. It went very, very well. People, of course, were very upset. Most, when they arrived, didn't know what had happened, had not heard. Have you read Jared's letter from the airport in Zurich?
Yes, I have read it. We shared parts of it. So the people are aware of what happened and his response to it. And, of course, we talked about the absurdity of banning people like Jared while allowing, you know, savages in by the millions. But, yeah, I would, you know, you're a guy who can relate because we talked earlier about how you can go to Sweden. At least you were allowed this time, whereas Jared cannot. But Jared was sent back home to America. You can't come to America from Canada for similar nonsensical reasons. You know, this is where we're at in the world. This is where we're at in the West, and it's our own people doing it to their own people and to the best of their people, I might add, people like you and Jared. So tell us a little more about the conference, your reaction to all this, just any way you want to go with it, Paul.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you had read the letter in its entirety to your audience, because it's a very, very moving letter. And so if people know the basics that they told the authorities at the airport in Zurich.
Go ahead and do it, Paul.
This is the part of the letter I thought was particularly moving. This is his homeland. He is now banned from Britain, and I don't think I could share that last time we talked. I think I told you that privately. He was banned 3 years ago. And now he's basically banned from all 26 countries that are signatories to the Schengen Agreement. That's an immigration agreement. And I'm not sure which European countries are not members, but there are not very many. So he was banned from Poland. The Poles banned him. And you would say, well, okay, he can't go to Poland. But no, he can't go to any of the countries in the Schengen Agreement, because once you get into Europe, you can travel across any border. So if you fly in, let's say, to Italy, you can then go without impediment across any border in most of the rest of Europe. So being banned by the Poles bans him from almost all of Europe. But he says, this was the continent of my ancestors. And now he reveals, I think publicly, for the first time, what happened. It says 3 years ago, I got a letter from Theresa May when she was still Home Secretary. She told me that my views are repugnant and that she had decided to keep me out of her country Britain is the land of my ancestors. He writes my language, my favorite authors, and now I am an exile. It is a bitter blow. And I think Jared takes this very personally and feels it very deeply. England is the land of his roots and his ancestry, and he's banned. A man who has never broken a law in Britain or anywhere else, and he's banned while the absolute trash and riffraff of the earth come in and out of England. There is an absolute war going on free thought in England. One of the speakers at the conference today was a fellow broadcaster, Mark Collett. I don't know if you know him.
I do.
Well, he was very powerful. And during the question and answer, I asked him, I made the statement that probably there has never been a time of greater repression of free speech in England since the years 1942-45 when they fought a war. And what has come down the last 4 or 5 years has all come down under a conservative government. How could he account for that? Well, he said, pretty much as Sam Dixon says, these people are not conservative. He says, well, what are they conserving? He says, they're nothing. They're conserving nothing. Under Theresa May in 2016, Britain brought in the largest number of immigrants ever, 600,000 legal. Mark told us about 650,000 legal and about 200,000 illegal. Very close to a million people. This is under a conservative government. Meanwhile, the restrictions on freedom of speech, the persecution of people for internet, for podcasts, like what happened to satirical singer songwriter Alison Chablot, what's happening to people like Jared Taylor, the people who are banned from England, videographers like Brittany Pettibone, Lauren Southern, of course Mark Weber. Mark was banned at about the same time as Jared, although Jared did not speak at the London Forum, and I suspect that's the reason I'm banned, because I spoke at that same London Forum. I didn't get the publicity that Mark did, but I believe that's probably what the reason was. So that there are, these are just the people we know of. There's an Austrian identity leader whose name slips my mind for a moment. He's banned. This is under not the Labour Party. This is under the Conservative Party, which at one point actually believed in things like British principles of fair play. It's absolutely appalling. And Jared, people miss Jared, I hope he will come out swinging at this. The only explanation anybody could come up with was this. It doesn't say much about principles, but this was the explanation. I think it was in 2014. You all remember there was to be a conference in Budapest organized by Richard Spencer.
Yeah, and Richard, and by the way, Richard and Bill Regnery were also banned as a result of that particular conference, and I think both deported.
Oh yes, they're banned too. But we wondered why.
I thought Hungary was supposed to be one of the good places.
Supposedly populist or right-wing government Viktor Orban would do this. We understand why the anti-racists and the others would want the conference banned, but why would Orban? And the way similarly now, Poland is run by a nationalistic government that's strongly against immigration, doesn't want to bring in Muslims. You would think, if not necessarily always on our side, that they would at least be sympathetic or not hostile. And the explanation that was offered, and I don't find it very satisfying, but this was what was offered, is the governments think, well, okay, these people are expendable. Who cares about Richard Spencer? Who cares about Jared Taylor? But we can curry some favor with the grim lords in Brussels, in the EU. So we can have our little rebellions, and they'll give us a few brownie points. for throwing out these, whatever you want to call them, fascists, or the Poles call him, I believe, an extremist. And he's spoken several times recently in Poland, and he said the meetings were heavily shadowed by the Polish police. Jared has also spoken in Estonia and in Lithuania back in February. So he's been doing a great job. And you would think in a nationalistic right-wing government, they would at least leave him alone. But to the extent anybody had an explanation, that was it. It's extremely disappointing.
Paul, this is Keith Alexander. You know, all this started with that Richard Spencer, all this deportation and banning of white nationalists, for use, for lack of a better term, speakers, started in Hungary, which is the home of Viktor Orban, who's supposedly one of our big heroes.
Well, and then this was this, you know, what triggered this 26-country reciprocal banning, I guess is the word, was Poland, which is another one that's supposed to be more
on our side.
At least supposedly more than most. We're going to take a break, Paul. Stay with us for just a couple of more minutes on the flip side. I know it's late and you need to get to bed, but we're going to keep you just for another minute or two. Stay tuned.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying shh? Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC. Not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, we are happy to have with us Paul Fromm. I've known Paul for 15 years, if I've known him a minute, and he's a great man, great friend. Used to get with Paul a lot more often than I do these days because he's no longer allowed to travel to the United States because he's the truth teller and a good man. But we do have these occasions on the radio that still bring us together, and I'm thankful for that, especially tonight where he is joining us past midnight. Over in Sweden, he attended the forum at which Jared Taylor was supposed to have spoken at today. Of course, you know, Jared was detained and deported instantly upon setting down at the airport. And so Paul, the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression and the Canada First Immigration Reform Committee, is here to tell us about it. Now, we've read some of the letter throughout this hour. Paul is, though, at that conference, so he's boots on the ground, so to speak, there live at the scene. Keith, we're only going to keep Paul about five more minutes. I know it's past midnight, and he's got things to do, travel weary and all of that. But five more minutes, a final question to Paul.
Paul, this is Keith. Is there any outcry in the media generally in Europe or in Sweden in particular, or is this basically an issue just for the people attending this conference and people who are sympathetic with them overseas? Is there any media coverage of this even in Europe?
I'm not aware of any. I can't say there isn't, but this is very much a blow we have to suffer within the movement. I really was impressed with the theme of the conference, which was to discuss anarcho-tyranny. And speaker after speaker spoke about how that term applies. Our New World Order rulers, the cultural Marxists, have, over maybe the last 50 years, helped create anarchy, a breakdown of law and order, and that's deliberate, where they coddle the criminals and tyrannize the victims. In many Western countries, people who commit heinous crimes get only a very slight punishment. But if you talk about it, if you criticize immigrants, you can go to jail. For instance, I heard today of a 91-year-old Swedish man recently convicted of hate speech for saying that he no longer felt at home in his own community because there were so many Muslims. Well, that's an opinion. But off to jail, a 91-year-old man goes. That's the tyranny part. And the anarcho part is the allowing in, seemingly without control, of hordes of utterly unassimilable third-world immigrants. That's exactly what's going on in Britain with Theresa May. She's a complete, utter shill for the Zionists. They put a name on the list. When she was Home Secretary, they suggest a name to her, and that person's banned. And that's what happened with Mark Weber. The Board of Jewish Deputies were very upset that there being this London Forum conference where Mark had spoken, and they misreported his remarks. But when the police said, well, there wasn't anything they could do, then the Board of Jewish Deputies demanded that he be kept out of the country. And apparently, like within a couple of days, the decision was made and the letter written telling him he was not allowed. The problem is they said they couldn't find him. So he never knew about that letter until he got turned back in Madrid when he was on the way to Heathrow to catch a flight back to the United States. So that's the tyranny part. White resistance, white questioning is being persecuted. And I believe it was also Mark Collett who mentioned that several of the parents, white parents, of the victims in Rotherham. And Rotherham is an area where there are a lot of Muslims. And over a 10-year period, they had kidnapped and corrupted young white girls, groomed them with alcohol and drugs for prostitution and beatings and so on. This was massively covered up by the social workers, the politicians, and the police. And the odd male, the odd father who would go to the police and say, something very bad is happening to my daughter at the hands of these Muslims. They were told, first of all, you complain again, and we're going to arrest you for hate speech. Can you believe that? A concerned father who just mentions that the perpetrators of these acts happen to be Muslims, that's enough to be threatened with hate speech. In other words, you just suffer and shut up.
Well, more than that, they're going to follow through with punishing that aggrieved father. But on the other hand, they will do nothing to control the anarchy of allowing pedophiles and slavers, in essence, into their nation to ply their trade.
See, that's what I found very interesting about this concept of anarcho-tyranny. It's not the first time I'd heard it, but the whole conference focused on that. And I thought that was a very useful way to see what's being done to us. And all the speakers there, there were speakers from, well, of course, from the United States, well, it was supposed to be Jared Taylor, but there was another speaker, and speakers from Britain and from Denmark and Sweden and Russia, sorry, the Ukraine, all agreed that the end goal is our replacement. We're to be tyrannized and broken and terrified and replaced. The end game being to get rid of us.
Genocide.
So back to my question about how could the Conservative Party, which once in some ways stood for, you know, British values, how could they do this? And Mark Collins said, well, essentially, they are a lot of pampered rich kids. And they're trying to they don't care about the racial makeup of Britain, but they do care about hanging on to their wealth, and that can be done by bringing in hordes of cheap labor that keeps wages down, unemployment high, breaks the trade unions, and all is good. And I heard almost exactly the same explanation when just after Bill Clinton was elected the first time, I got to interview the longtime publisher of National Review. Bill Russia, Peter Brimmel made the connection, and I went to see him, and I gently raised the immigration issue. You know, I said, you know, America's changing, all these people coming in from Central America, and Russia said, you know, with that kind of drawl, you know, that kind of lazy, laid back, I won't say faggy, but that drawl. Well, he said, yes, America will get a little bit browner, but you know, these people have good family values and will really screw the unions. And I thought, you'd give away your country to screw the unions? I mean, talk about badly, badly misplaced values. But that's, that, according to Mark Collins, you know, if there is any rationale for the Conservative Party, it's that. And, of course, they too have made, there's a big George Soros faction among them.
Well, Paul, two things. First of all, anarcho-tyranny was a concept that I believe had its genesis with Sam Francis, late Samuel Todd Francis.
I would look into that. That was Sam Francis in 1992.
And what we're seeing is whites being split into two groups, basically, the big honkies and the little honkies. And, for example, in Memphis, Tennessee, the politicians that depend on all of the honky or white votes to get elected totally ignore the interests and the desires of the little honkies, for example, to keep up the Confederate statues and to avoid renaming or to resist renaming the Confederate parts. Those people, you know, they no political capital is going to be spent on them. And the reason is they want to spend all their political capital for the big honkies, getting them like $50 million free parking garages for their latest downtown development and things like this. And I think that pattern is happening throughout the West, in Europe, as well as America, as well as Canada. We have careerists who are supposed to be representing all of us, who are only interested in advancing their own careers. And the surest way to scuttle your advancement is to be on the truly conservative side of anything.
Well, Paul, I want to thank you again for coming on, for staying up late. I haven't been to Europe since 2005. I was in Germany. That's the last time I was in Europe. It seems like if I went today, it could get real hairy. Paul Fromm can't come to the United States. there was a story a few years ago when my book was first released. Somebody had bought a few copies at a speech that I was giving. I don't remember which one. And the books were seized by the Canadian border authorities. And the books were deported, I guess you could say, and not allowed into the country. So I tell you what, it gets more and more interesting by the day. But, Paul, we love you. We appreciate you. A lifetime of good work. Folks, be sure to check him out.
He may not be able to speak in Stockholm, but he can speak at the Shoney's in Bartlett, Tennessee.
Well, he used to be able to speak at the Shoney's. Do you remember going to Shoney's? That was a good meeting. It sure was. But that was back when you were allowed to come to the United States. Anyway, Paul. Hey, we're counting on it, brother. We're counting down the days too. I'd love to see you again. If not, well,
we'll have to reverse engineer the Underground Railroad so we can get him down here.
That's right. Hey, Paul, get some sleep over there. Travel safe back home. I'll talk to you in a few in just a little while. Thank you, buddy. And there he goes, Paul Fromm. When we come back, we're going to talk about Jussie Smollett. All charges dropped. I have seen enough to know I have seen too much.
Don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.